The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Spring training's here.
It's here.
It's here, Derek.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Woohoo! This is the Ain't No Fang Podcast. I am Cody Fincher alongside Derek Montilla. No Steve Zinsmeister today. He's got other things going on, like some kind of meeting or something.
Better things.
Whatever.
Let's just say he's on assignment. That sounds cool.
Yeah, being forced to do something you don't want to do.
Uh-huh. On assignment.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to do that from now on. Yeah. What are you doing? Taking out the trash? I mean, I'm on assignment.
I'm on assignment.
Okay, that works for me. Well, day two of spring training is here as we sit here on Thursday, February 18th. I can't believe it's here.
I can't believe it's here.
Oh, my gosh.
It's exciting. It was nice to see Madison Bumgarner talking with the media yesterday, and there's rumors and things flying around about what the Diamondbacks might be doing. So it's definitely interesting to see how this team might come together before this season starts.
Yeah, we can start off. Let's start off here. The D-backs actually made a signing in the last week since we
did
our podcast last week.
I thought I told you guys the 40-man roster is set. It's done.
Is it, though?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
The Diamondbacks agreed to terms with veteran infielder Asdrubal Cabrera on a one-year deal.
1 year, $1.75 million.
And it seems like a lot of people are talking about how he, you know, the first reaction was like, well, there's your second baseman, and Ketel Marte is going to move to center field. And I don't know about that because I did the numbers, and I hope I did them correctly because I'm about to tell you what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to my Twitter account. Sorry. Hold on.
Oh, here we go. You're ruining this podcast.
Go. Here it is. Hold on. Talk, Derek. Help me.
Well,
here we go. Yeah. I found it as soon as you're going to talk. If I did these numbers correctly, last year in the shortened season, of his 52 games played, he played 42 of those games actually in the field defensively, 25 games at first base, 17 at third.
But he was a second baseman. He's
played every position on the infield besides catcher.
Sure.
So, yeah, maybe he can play at second base, but he is getting up there in age, so you'd wonder about the range. I don't know. But,
sure, absolutely. And, yeah. You know, the one thing about it is, like you said, he fits the Troy Lovullo mold of a versatile player that can play a lot of different positions. That's something that they still like to bring on, especially when you talk about somebody like this that probably won't be a starter.
That's
but,
their thing.
But
like
utility guys, yeah. Right? Right now, as it stands, it sounds, based on the press conference today with Mike Hazen, like a deal might be imminent, even though he couldn't confirm or talk about anything. It sounds like they might be making a move for a center fielder. I'm not sure still what that is. It didn't sound like they were going to be making any huge moves, but it does sound like there's a rumor out there about them acquiring a center fielder. It makes a lot of sense, right? Because what we all here at the podcast hope is that Ketel Marte can stay in the infield and not transition out to being a full-time center field starter for this team. As it stands, the depth chart behind Ketel is Tim LeCastro and Fairchild.
Oh,
that's right now where they're going.
Like
now,
true. I guess I don't even know if you could say true center. Anything true on this team? Really, everybody can move around, but
it's just basically showing how shallow it is. And then outside of that, they don't really know. Now, don't get me wrong, Stuart Fairchild is, you know, coming up just like a lot of the D-backs' top prospects. That's the wonderful thing is, The D-backs don't need to panic. They don't need to do anything that's going to bring in a guy
right
for 5 years, 6 years. Their future is right now in the minor leagues, and they're trying to get those guys developed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, with the pandemic, it makes it that much harder to get the development for those young players. But, you know, they are getting to a point where those guys are going to be ready soon. And they're going to have a surplus because it seems like a lot of those guys might be ready around the same time.
And a big thing now is it looks like we're going to have minor league baseball this year. So we'll actually get to see the Corbin Carrolls and Christian Robinson and Alec Thomas actually play.
You're absolutely right. The Reno Aces actually put out their schedule today. So
yes. That's
a very positive sign for those guys at least playing games. It sounds like baseball will have some fans in the stands, which, you know, very much excites this team and these players. These guys are, you know, they want to play in front of fans. They want to have that atmosphere back. It's very weird to play inside of a giant airplane hangar like Chase Field without any fans in it.
Yeah.
Another thing,
feel really weird.
It's got it. I mean, it's weird to be there for, you know, it's weird. There's things I like to do when I'm, you know, there covering a game, like look out for Baxter. He turns into this fun, like, where's Waldo? Because he's always somewhere, but I don't know where he is. And he's pretty much amusing himself. That's what he's out there doing. Another thing that came out was it sounded like Hazen was very committed to Varsho catching. Again,
interesting.
Dalton Varsho has shown his versatility and his ability to play outfield and other positions, but it definitely sounded like they want him behind the plate, which I think is another good move. I think these guys, because of their versatility, kind of suffer from having to move around so much, not getting that time at one position to really adjust at that position and get better. Everybody still has something to learn every single day. It's one thing that Madison Bumgarner brought up, you know, especially with his bad season and everything that he's gone through. You know, there's always a learning opportunity. There's always an opportunity to get better. He found that they did notice some things, and that's kind of what helped, you know, his improvement at the end of the season. You and I talked before we got on the air, but it was weird. He didn't really want to blame the pandemic.
Yeah.
Everybody went through the pandemic. Everybody went through the weird season together. You can't really say
everybody had the shutdown in spring training and didn't start again until July or whatever.
Here's the thing, though. Here's what I don't necessarily agree with, is I don't think every team handled it the same.
Mm.
And maybe some teams were better. Maybe they had a better forecast. Maybe they had a better analytics about what was going to happen with this situation to kind of formulate a better game plan. One of his biggest regrets about the preparation for last season was how he ramped up hard and then had to shut down and then ramped up again and then shut down.
Yeah, he said yesterday he wishes that he would have kept a steady pace throughout the shutdown.
Right.
But he said we didn't really know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were going to play or not.
We haven't exactly lived through a pandemic over the last, you know, couple of hundred
Nobody really
years.
Knows what to do. And I get that, you know, but yeah, so and I was hoping, and you remember me saying this a lot, I was really hoping that that was the reason he pitched so poorly before his last two starts of the year. And it seems like, obviously, he's not an excuses maker. It doesn't seem like he is. But he wouldn't really deny, like, oh, yeah, that had nothing to do with it.
You can't say it didn't. You know what I mean? And you don't know.
Of course it did.
Of course it did. You know, I think it affected a lot of these guys. Some people were just able to make it, you know, through better. Mm-hmm. Zach Gallen still had, you know, a stellar season.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
Same players on the same or players on the same team still had great numbers, still did big things. I just think that's not everybody. But the other thing that was brought up today was about the pitchers. There's a lot of young pitchers right now kind of waiting in the wings. These minor league guys that were being looked at as franchise, you know, pitchers, top prospects, starters. And so the question was brought up whether or not these guys were going to essentially be used as relievers in some way, shape, or form. And it sounds like from what Mike Hazen replied with that they're pretty much looking to stretch out all of those guys that are kind of that next wave of young starting pitchers, including like John Duplantier and, you know, Taylor Widener. Those guys aren't going to be looked at, it doesn't sound like, for relief appearances. But they are going to – they did bring up Bukauskas as somebody that they are going to, in fact, be looking at for shorter stints. So of the young guys, it sounds like he might get an opportunity at the bullpen.
That's interesting because I feel like the bullpen is kind of still pretty light in terms of arms they have. And a suggestion that I think Steve brought up on one of our episodes was – turning some of those starters that they have, like Bukauskas and Martin, and seeing what, maybe getting them some reps in the bullpen to see what they got.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
Well, and I think the thing there is, again, the development.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said about that. And I know that obviously front offices and baseball organizations know more about this than you and I. They just know that sometimes these guys get stunted in their development when they get into that relief role. And then that's what they become, you know.
Yeah.
Look at Archie Bradley at one point, again, another top prospect as a starting pitcher.
Right.
Now, you know, just a closer, not even a closer, a reliever, you know, at times, whatever his role might be. Archie's a professional like that, so he's always accepted whatever he can do to help the team and didn't seem to mind that transition into that role. But, just has such a big personality, it's hard for someone like that to be, you know, this minor role on a baseball team. I do want to say that there was a player that I was looking at that I'm hoping maybe the right fit for the team if they were looking at a center fielder. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they're at because, again, I still want them to start looking at younger players.
Right.
And the Marlins recently DFA'd Harold Ramirez, which is an outfielder. And I you know, I don't know if he plays center field or just outfield. I don't know if he can be that center fielder. But in his rookie year, you know, he hit close to 300 in batting average and just had himself a really good season last year. It kind of trailed off a bit, but I can't really ever worry about last year and what numbers look like last year, good or bad for any player.
Yeah, numbers last year are kind of just like, oh, of course, we're talking about Madison Bumgarner a lot, who had bad numbers, but, you know, we saw how bad it was, you know, with pitchers. It's kind of, pitchers, the numbers kind of are relevant to last year, I think, like, because if you're getting rocked, your numbers are going to show it. But it's interesting that you bring up center field, because I still would love to see, and I've kind of jumped on Steve's bandwagon here with Jackie Bradley Jr.
Sure.
He, and I didn't realize this, but he is statistically the best fielding outfielder in baseball. And I didn't know that. But I think he would be a real ideal fit here. But the problem is that he's looking for a deal, reportedly, for more than 4 years. And I don't think the Diamondbacks are able or willing to commit to any contract like that right now anyway. And plus, like you were saying, speaking of development, they have guys, Alec Thomas, Corbin Carroll, and Christian Robinson, who seem to be like they're 1 or 2 years away from the big league level. So I don't see why they would want to commit a contract to a Jackie Bradley Jr., who reportedly wants more than 4 years.
That's the big thing. Maybe they sign.
He's a perfect fit here, I think, but
maybe what they do is sign him to a 1 year deal.
Maybe it seems like that's what a lot of guys are doing now.
I was going to say, especially spring training started. Agency, you got to make a decision and you got to get out there and play. You got to continue to show what you can do.
Right.
So if you can get a 1 year deal with an organization that satisfies your 1 year money, your 1 year financial requirements, then after this season, teams will be in a different position.
Yeah.
Teams will be more financially secure. They'll be more secure about the future. At this point, I feel it's just more of, you know, what's going to happen beyond this, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to say, well, this is going to kind of fizzle out and, you know, we're going to get this coronavirus thing under control before the end of the season and we'll be back to business as usual next year. We don't know that.
Yeah, there's no way to know it.
I mean, there was a time where all I was complaining about was the fact that the Rage Against the Machine concert got canceled. I still can't believe that was a thing when I got reminded of that, of like my Facebook messages or whatever.
Wait, you know? Wasn't that 20 years ago?
Yeah, no, that was last year at this time. I had a message on Facebook that I posted that I was like, I'm really worried about this virus thing canceling Rage Against the Machine. And I was like, oh, old Derek, if only I could tell you how much stuff was going to be canceled.
It's funny because like now on like iPhones, like, photos pop up now on like memory whatever,
yeah. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Whatever it's called, and there's pictures of me at sporting events last year, at a spring training game last year. I'm like, oh, that was fun 5 years ago. This is what it feels like. And then somehow it also feels like it was like yesterday. It's really strange. I feel like we're in this like Groundhog Day.
I had a memory universe. Pop up of me and my friends seeing how many of us we could shove in an elevator from like a year ago. That just goes to show how times are different.
Are you those people in the hotel?
Maybe, sometimes.
Cool.
There was a lot of us. I'm just saying.
There's a lot.
Anyway, memories.
Man.
Those days of riding in elevators with other people are over.
Now that spring training has started and we're trying to figure out what this team looks like, I'll ask you this. Who in your mind on the Diamondbacks needs to step up the most for the Diamondbacks to be competitive this year?
Ooh, that's a great question. I want to immediately go to Madison Bumgarner. I think that's obviously...
I think that's right off the top, yeah.
Right. I think that if he can come out and be dominant again and can kind of be back to his old self, I think that will that confidence will go a long way. Honestly, I can imagine a lot of players on the team losing confidence in the team's ability to win games when they started seeing someone like him struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supposed to be... The ace, he's supposed to be the stalwart of the staff. He's supposed to be the one they could count on. At least they had that in Zach Gallen going out there every 5 days. So they had an ace that they could count on. It just wasn't Bumgarner. If those two guys can be at the top of their game, this pitching staff could be very formidable. I know I've said that in the past, but when you look at the ability of this team, there is still a strong ability for this pitching staff to be a feature. I think that pitching is their focus, and you know, right now the bullpen is kind of a mess. That's mm-hmm. the one thing that they're trying to still figure out. I just know starting pitching wise, they have the pieces there to win. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
One of the questions that's been brought up in every, you know, press conference has obviously been about what the Padres and the Dodgers are doing. I'm getting brainwashed a little bit, sure, but the mantra of like they can only control what they can control, and they can only worry about their path. They can't worry about how many games the Padres win. They can't worry about how many games the Dodgers win. All they can worry about is how many games they win against those teams, right?
Right, so exactly.
They got to, right now, at this point, control their own destiny because everybody is at, you know, 0-0.
Yeah.
If they can go out there and win games, it really doesn't matter. I think baseball is, above all other sports, one of those sports where we've seen the team that has the biggest payroll not necessarily have that translate over to the biggest success.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously, a lot of times that's going to be the case. When they can just go out and pick up the top talent around the league and create an all-star team, that's one thing. If you look at the Dodgers, that's not what the Dodgers did. The Dodgers had their own pieces that they have developed from young players, similar to what the Astros did, besides the whole cheating thing.
Yeah.
And it's similar to what the Red Sox did, right? It's a matter of growing your own talent, like Steve was talking about in the phases, and then adding those key pieces to make your team go from being good to great.
Yeah, like from what the Dodgers did, yeah, look at all their really good players. Kershaw developed, was in their farm system. Walker Buehler, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, all those guys. And then you get yourself to the point where you can then go out and get a Mookie freaking Betts.
There it is.
And then you can spend all your money on him, and then it's fine.
What's the point of getting a Mookie Betts if you don't have the rest of the team around?
Right.
Him, right? Again, like we were talking about in the past, these days of teams having a marquee player just for the fact of selling tickets are mm-hmm. over, especially in a pandemic era where they're not really worried about how many people they can get in the stadium.
It's like a prime example is the Angels with Mike Trout.
Right.
He's the best player in baseball.
He's going to have a statue outside of that
and
stadium.
And they fail to build around him every year. They right. fail to – I mean, yeah, they brought in Anthony Rendon last year. So they have two guys on big contracts, and they haven't made the playoffs in a decade or so.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. You know, I think that's the thing, is the Arizona Diamondbacks right now are in a position where they don't really know what some of these young guys can do. And some of these young guys are developing in really weird, strange ways that really they're only going to be able to be displayed, you know, possibly for the first time this spring training mm-hmm. at camp.
Yeah.
I think that they are in a great position with their farm system and going forward. And honestly, it's a situation where they might have these guys come up that are the stars that they can lock up and make this team the team of the future. It's definitely a young team, and there's definitely a lot of things to be excited about for the future. I just don't know about this season.
Yeah.
The San Diego Padres, the big story there is that they locked up Fernando Tatis Jr. to a 14-year contract, Bear. 14 years. 14 years.
That's insane.
My car is 14 years old. It's falling apart. I can't wait to get rid of it.
I saw a tweet last night that said, how old will you be when the Fernando Tatis contract ends?
Oh my
and I'm
God,
like, oh my gosh.
53 years old.
I'll be 42.
Good Lord.
I'll be in my 40s when he's a finally. This kid's 22 years old.
It's crazy to me. I understand he's a great player. He's an exciting player. It is just wild to me for any sports organization to commit to a 14-year contract. Don't get me wrong. In 4 years, the thought of signing him to a $10 million contract for what the rest of that contract is probably going to look like a deal 4 years from now. The market,
probably,
who knows,
you're right.
Them, right? Like, you don't really know, because baseball is in a really dangerous spot right now. You know, I think baseball is in a spot where they really need to do something to generate goodwill with their fans and bring people back and just
they need to reach the younger crowd,
the younger audience, and get people excited about the sport. I do say, though, that it, based on trajectories and, you know, the way things go, I would not be surprised for this contract to look like a deal 4 years from now when there's 10 years left on it. It's just wild to me to think that any player is going to be that good to commit 14 years to, you know, being a part of your organization. I mean, obviously, they could trade him or whatever in the future. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a Padre for that full
40. He's got no trade clause.
No.
At 22.
What?
He's got a no trade clause.
No, like for the whole deal?
I don't know. That's what I read.
That's a...
He's got a no trade clause.
Oh, I don't even... Whatever.
Hey, attention, kids. Play baseball.
I guess, yeah.
Play baseball.
They need stars. So.
I just hope my kids one day, if I have kids, will either just be good enough to be a left-handed reliever... Or a backup quarterback.
Hey, man.
I'll take it. Those positions sell. I'll tell you. They get paid. If you're a good left-hand reliever, you're always valued.
You are. It's just nuts. It's nuts.
Man, I'll be 42 years old.
Yeah.
42 years old.
Yeah, that's just a crazy deal. But, again, it's what the other teams are doing in the division. And, you know, as the Diamondbacks look at that, they know they have Fernando Tatis Jr. to deal with for a long time, but I think that they, to be honest, still have a very, very, you know, bright future, you know, and I think that they might have a chance to develop their own Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
Robinson, you know, he's coming.
Geraldo Perdomo, good shortstop.
Oh, yeah. They got some good guys.
Kids, play baseball. Play baseball. It pays, and it's fun, and it's a great sport.
I don't want to leave things on a bummer, but I did just want to send a message out. Thoughts and prayers to Mike Hazen. In Hazen, we trust. That's been a motto of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what he's going through with his family. If you're unaware, his wife, Nicole, they revealed that she has been battling brain cancer for nearly a year. And, you know, it's obviously something that's very difficult to have on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's for sure.
Again, thoughts to them and definitely best wishes.
Yeah. And, I don't know how to say it, but it's incredible that they've been going through this for this long, and like you can still do the job of a baseball general manager, which is, I feel like, probably one of the most exhausting jobs in sports. Managers for any clubs, and just to be able to get through that, what they're going through, the Hazens, is just incredible. So, great job, Mike. Hopefully, Nicole recovers and is able to get through this and come out on the other side for the better of it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, spring training, it's here. It continues. And we will talk to you next week and see what the D-backs are doing. Maybe we'll have a center fielder next week,
Maybe.
Garrett.
I think we will. I think we will. I think a deal is imminent. We'll see what happens. But definitely the feeling was out there that center field position.
You got me excited, man.
I could
don't
be wrong.
Do this to
I
me.
Mean, I,
don't
I,
give me hope.
I don't know. The platoon of LeCastro and Fairchild might be enough to carry the load, but I'm doubtful of that.
You're giving me hope. I hope it works out.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, we thank you so much for listening this week to the Ain't No Fan Podcast. I'm Cody Fincher alongside Derek Montilla. Thanks for listening. This is the Ain't No Fang Podcast on ArizonaSports.com and the Arizona Sports app.